From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. Lindsay West joins us. Lindsay is the Sacramento Regional Coordinator for Youth and Young Adult Ministry.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
It all fits on a business card comfortably.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you use like four-point font, you know, it's...
I need an extra pair of glasses to read it.
Exactly.
Okay. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Is it spring yet in the diocesan world?
I mean...
Days are warmer.
You know, yeah, it's a little chilly in the morning, but the sun is out. It warms up. It's been great. Baseball season is starting up. I mean...
Baseball?
Yeah, God's sport.
Bowl?
Right. And my favorite part of the Super Bowl is that once it's done, it means baseball is coming soon.
Well, it's really weird because, I mean, when I was a kid, you know, football was in the fall, basketball's in the winter, baseball's in the spring and summer.
Yeah.
But now it's like, Super Bowl just finished. The NBA doesn't finish till late June.
Yeah.
And baseball's already 2 or 3 months going. They're already ready to, I mean, they're heading down to Arizona and Florida and spring training and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Already.
I know.
It's crazy.
It is, yeah. Everything bleeds in together. And of course, you know, even in the non-professional world, same thing happens. My son just had his first t-ball practice yesterday.
Oh, wow.
You know, but it's tough on our youth ministers and parents and teens because, you know, sports are taking up more and more of our time and it makes it tough to kind of...
They really are.
Yeah.
And I mean, I remember one time... My son had a Little League game on a Sunday, and I went,
oh.
What? I'd never heard of that.
Yeah.
I think maybe it was a rain-out makeup kind of thing.
Oh.
But it was like, I mean, that used to, even for quote-unquote non-religious people, Sunday was sort of, you just didn't have organized. I mean, maybe you went to the park and played softball in the afternoon
sure. After
Mass. You know,
but that's like a family,
yeah.
You know, kind of, that's your Sabbath, even if you're not religious. It's
exactly.
Family day.
But to actually schedule youth activities, it's gotten to be, it's really.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the week's all, well, you've got two young ones, you know. It's,
oh, yeah.
You know, just wait. Just
well, see, the little one's not in any organized activities
yeah, that,
yet, so.
Well, it's fine.
I
remember my wife and I was like, when the kids were little, it was like, let's go somewhere. You know, you just pop them all in the car and go for a ride, or maybe you go overnight somewhere. Now it's like. We can't. I've got something on Saturday night. I have choir. I have soccer. I have, I've got jobs now. I have four teenagers. And, you know, they've got, it's like, holy cow. To get all of us together for more than an hour is almost impossible.
Yeah, it only gets busier as they get older from what I hear, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's absolutely crazy, but... That's, you know, that's what we get. That's it's a busy world.
It is. But we prioritize our faith, ideally, right?
Yes.
And, did you watch the Super Bowl?
I did.
Speaking of which, what did you think of the commercials? Because, you know, I mean, so football is not my favorite sport, but if I have a team, it's the 49ers.
Oh, well.
You know, but, you know, I always hear about the commercials. I don't watch it live, and we had Fired Up, so, you know, I was busy with Fired Up that weekend.
Right.
But, obviously, there's been a lot of, you know, talk always about, you know, halftime shows and commercials and stuff.
Well, the commercials are just an always thing for the Super Bowl. That's why everybody watches the Super Bowl, is what are the commercials. I remember when Doritos had a make your own commercial and they picked the four best.
Right.
And there was just hysteria about who was going to win this thing. And they were very clever and they were fun to watch. But and it also becomes controversial as to ads that they rejected.
Oh, yes. I heard about a couple ones that they rejected.
Yeah. And so sometimes I'm not sure if it's a setup. If, you know, it's like the day before the Super Bowl, we ring them up and say, we want to buy an ad. And they say no. And they say, see, it's because they don't like us. You know, generally money talks.
Usually. Did you have a favorite commercial?
No.
Okay. I had a favorite commercial, and I'm wondering if you saw it. It was the New York Life commercial.
I'm trying to remember.
So it's New York Life Insurance or whatever, and it was it talked about the four Greek words for love.
Oh yeah. I remember we were the kids and my wife, we were all talking about it.
I thought that it was one of the most Catholic, non-Catholic things I've ever seen. And agape, the most admirable love, and I was like, wow.
I remember I was, you know, semi-comatose and worried about the score of the game and stuff, and I heard agape, and I went, what am I listening to here? Did somebody switch the channel? Did somebody go over to EW10 on me? What?
Right.
You know, you go from ESPN to EW10. I mean, somebody got confused, you know?
Praise God that made it onto the air for millions of people to see.
Yeah, it just perked up. Now, but see, from an advertiser standpoint, did it make you go out and buy New York Life Insurance?
Well, my husband's a financial advisor and does insurance and stuff like that. So mine always goes with him. But if he wasn't, it would make me more inclined to go
more inclined.
Look. Yeah.
If you were in the market for that. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. For me, at least I'm talking about it, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know.
Yeah, no, it was a beautiful ad. You're right.
Yeah. Well, anyway, speaking of ads, can I tell you about what we have coming up?
Yes, you got all. Well, you got so much stuff going. We set aside the whole day for you.
Yeah. This is part one of five. No, I'm just kidding. So we have, you know, speaking of spring and you know, in youth ministry world, things are picking up for sure. So we have on March 27th, 28th, several of our parishes in the Sacramento region have gotten together and are working to plan a lock-in. And the idea of a lock-in is not that, well, everybody's literally locked in somewhere. This isn't like youth ministry prison. This is, the idea though is that it's a whole overnight program and you come and you stay. There's no kind of like in and outs, dropping in for what you want to do or not. And it's games, it's food, it's lots of fun. It's a great opportunity for youth ministries to come and bring their teens, do good relational ministry, have some bonding, get to meet other teens from around the region, from other parishes. We're going to have
Is it just for teens?
It's for high schoolers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. High school youth.
And then we're going to have Father Dean Marshall come, and he's going to lead us in a late night holy hour. And we'll have an inspiring talk. And it's just going to be a really fun Catholic evening. So it's a Friday night. They come at 7 p.m. and then they get picked up by about 8 a.m. And everything's kind of included in that, the food, the snacks, the games, and whatnot. And it's going to be at Our Lady of the Assumption in Carmichael. Mm-hmm. And all parishes are invited, not just the few that are planning it.
Right.
We want to see as many parishes as possible. We have a goal of hopefully at least 10 different parishes coming from the greater Sacramento area. So, but anybody in the diocese, if they want to come down or up, are welcome to join us. And so the registration is through our form stack, and we have the event posted on the diocese website. And if you're a youth or young adult ministry leader, you should hopefully have received maybe an email with the flyer. Mm-hmm. It's called Arise, which is great since it's an overnighter, all-nighter. It's just a fun time. So I've been working with these few parishes to plan it. And like I said, it's a great social community building opportunity for teens.
And it's an all-nighter.
Yeah.
So this is because it's during Lent.
Mm-hmm.
At midnight, when Friday turns into Saturday, do the snacks become meat filled?
We go from cheese pizza to bacon. Just everything's bacon.
Just right at midnight.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and that's the cool thing too, is being able to have fun, but then have that holy hour, focus on faith filled fun. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's a lot of, you know, Friday night, Saturday night things that teens can do that are not so wholesome. And this is just a great wholesome community opportunity. So
what time will will Dean be on?
Oh, I forget.
Father Dean.
He asked us to not go too late. We were going to do a midnight holy hour, but I think our we want to be kind and gentle to our priests. Yeah. So I think I want to say it's like around 10 or 10:30.
Okay.
So it's late night, but not a midnight holy hour. So.
And OLA, that's just the perfect parish there. Beautiful, beautiful facilities and everything.
Yeah. So, and space to kind of, you know, spread out for our games. So, because it'll be a lot of, it's not just like, come and play. Like, we're going to play, go fish over here or, you know, poker over there. It's like large gathered games.
Yeah.
So, we can take, I think, about up to 100 people. So, yeah, go register now. And I think
have you done this before?
Well, when I was a youth minister at a parish, I did this many a time. And it was always a lot of fun. You know, we get like anywhere from 50 to 80 kids. And now, granted, I was in my early and mid 20s when I was doing this originally. So staying up all night was not as big of a deal. So send us coffee. We were taking coffee donations for all the chaperones and leaders. yeah, it's cool. It's a lot of fun.
Great.
And usually, you know, some of the teens will, we don't force them to stay up all night, but we do have programming throughout the night.
Mm-hmm.
So if they want to stay up all night, they can. And of course, you know, we're very diligent about safe environment and separating boys and girls and, you know, we're very, mindful of that.
Yes.
So if any, you know, parents are listening, you're like, what?
What?
That's like a sleepover co-ed? Not quite.
Yeah. Very good. And Father Dean will be wonderful.
Yes. He's
You'll
excited.
Probably get some vocations out of it just because people go, he's a priest, really? He's a funny guy.
He is. He's great. I love Father Dean. So we're very excited that he said yes to come with us.
Good.
So.
Very good.
Yeah. And then
again, that's March 27th. Through the 28th, 7 p.m. till 8 a.m. the next morning, a Friday night and a Saturday early morning.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yep. And then April, so now we are into the Easter season, April 17th, we have a high school youth rally. So again, a couple of different parishes got together and said, you know, when our teens were going through confirmation, they got to go to Fired Up. It was so awesome. You're bringing in these great speakers and fun events, and it's just, you know, exciting and very inspiring for the faith. But you know, we want something for our high school students who are post-confirmation.
Yeah.
And so we've been getting together and planning a rally, and it's called Unfiltered. So the theme is all about how God doesn't filter or put conditions on his love, but also what it means for teenagers to be authentically Catholic, to live an unfiltered life, being who God has created them to be, has meant them to be. And so we're very blessed to have Ryan Ramirez as our keynote speaker. We have an awesome, energetic music ministry coming to do music for us. There'll be some games. Of course, there'll be some food. And this is just a short, like 7 to 10 p.m., just like booster shot of high energy excitement for the faith, with a really like positive go out, live your Catholic life kind of message. So registration is just about up for that. And again, you know, it's a few parishes coming together to plan this, but we want any and all parishes to come. We want to see if we can fill the gym. We're going to be at St. John Vianney in Rancho Cordova. So again, it's a Friday night, 7 to 10. And yeah, so we're really looking forward to that.
Tell us about Ryan Ramirez.
So Ryan has been in youth and young adult ministry for quite some time. He's from the Solano Deanery, so down in Fairfield, Vallejo, kind of that area. And he has gone from being this great local speaker to now like a regional speaker and hitting kind of the national scene.
Wow.
So he's just growing in his ministry in terms of just spreading excitement for the faith, and really like his niche really is this whole idea of being who God meant you to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And talking about, letting go of the masks or the filters, if we're using kind of an Instagram style language, right.
Yeah.
To just be true to who God made them to be, and recognizing the beauty of who God made them to be and who God calls them to be. And so, we're very excited. He's, really high energy. He's a great speaker, connects with teens well. And it's awesome that he's, you know, a local guy for our diocese,
yeah.
But you know, he's traveling outside of the diocese and speaking elsewhere. And, so he's great.
Does he also work for the church? Or
he did, yeah, he up did. Until recently. And now his speaking has kind of
taken over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he does a lot of life skill kind of workshops mm-hmm. too for the schools, a lot of the Catholic schools.
Oh, good.
Not only down in our diocese, but like in the Diocese of Oakland. Mm. And I know he's gone down to Fresno a bunch, Diocese of Fresno. Yeah, it was actually just this past fall that he stepped away from his youth ministry uh-huh. position. So,
wow.
Yeah.
I'll have to come see him.
Yeah, you should come to the rally.
What kind of food you got?
We're still working on that.
Okay.
It'll be, what's your favorite?
Oh, anything.
Well, okay, so then why
okay,
do you
like
even ask?
Like pepperoni pizza.
Okay, we'll work
love
on
pepperoni pizza.
I'll get you your own personal pepperoni pizza,
oh,
Bob.
Good.
You come.
Good, okay. Hey, we got a deal there. Let's see. The 17th of April.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Easy. I've got it on my calendar now.
Good. Okay. Yeah. And we're still, because we were finalizing some details until like last week, we don't have it up on the website yet, but we're hoping by the end of this week, we'll have it up on the website. So if people go to scd.org /OYYA, so oh yeah, the Office of Youth and Young Adults,
right.
Then they can go look at our events, and okay. Most of these should be up there.
Very good, very good. That's for high school as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have
one more high school event coming
Mercy
up.
Mercy in Motion.
Exactly.
I like it.
So Mercy in Motion is a local mission trip. So we're calling it like a mission week because it's not necessarily a trip for people who are in the greater Sacramento area.
Yeah.
But we're going to have home base as the Sacramento Newman Center. It'll be overnight and it's a whole week. So it's June 29th through July 3rd. So we'll end in the early afternoon on July 3rd. So people will still have plenty of time to go celebrate 4th of July. It's a Monday through Friday, and there's going to be formation and prayer, and then there's also going to be service hands-on in our local community. And so one of the really cool things about this, and again, it's for high school students, so we're inviting all of the youth ministries. You know, we know there are a lot of companies out there that'll do mission weeks right. or mission trips. But if you have teens who maybe they can't afford the cost of a mission trip, or you're just interested from a faith, philosophical kind of perspective of who are our neighbors that we are called to serve in our own backyard,
right.
Literally next to us maybe, it's a great opportunity for our youth ministries to grab some teens, grab some chaperones, organize, and come for this week. And Mercy in Motion came about because the formation piece of it is going to try and help our young people understand this call to serve our neighbor and what it means to be neighbor
mm-hmm.
Through the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And so the week is all about God's mercy in motion and being Christ's hands and feet. You know, St. Teresa of Avila, I think, who said, you know, Christ has no hands now but yours, no body now but yours, right? And so that's a lot of the message and the formation that our young people will get. So, and our goal is to have a chaplain every day who will be with us. So we'll be offering the sacraments as much as we can, mass.
Holy will this be residential?
Yeah. So they'll spend the night at the Sacramento Newman Center. So, we'll have some prayer and programming in the morning. We'll have formation and programming in the evening. And then during the day, they'll go out and actually work at sites.
How do you pick these sites, and or do they come to you? You go find them? What?
It's a little bit of both.
Can you give a for instance or two?
Sure. Like, for example, Jackie, who's our pro-life coordinator for the diocese, she and I had a conversation recently about collaborating and how we can work with our young people in the pro-life movement.
Right.
And so out of that came, hey, we're looking for some people to serve. Right. And what about maybe, we could do something for Bishop Gallego's house, or is there something we could do for the Sacramento Life Center?
Right.
And so sometimes it just kind of comes, and sometimes it's like, we need to go out and contact, I always mess this up, Fishes and Loaves, Loaves and Fishes.
Loaves and Fishes.
Loaves and Fishes. And say like, hey, do you have, how many people can we bring on this day? Do you have openings? So, again, we have a team of youth ministers, from about 4 different parishes who have been working hard to organize and plan this. But it's for everybody, right? We're kind of looking at, what are some of the needs in the area and where can we go? So we're still working on our sites. Part of it's going to depend on how many people we have registered. Again, we think we can take about 100 people for this. And registration is open for that.
And what age are you looking at?
So it would be high school. And we get that this is summer. So I think we'd be looking at like incoming freshmen through outgoing seniors.
Okay.
Through graduated seniors. Mm-hmm. But they register as a parish.
Uh-huh.
So with each of these events, because we're trying to serve the youth ministries, we want them to register as a youth ministry. Mm-hmm. And if there are any teens that maybe they don't have like an official youth minister or something like that,
right,
they can contact me and I will work with them in the parish and we'll make it work. We want to make sure that a teen who's interested in participating, whether it's the lock-in or the rally or the mission trip, the mission week, if they don't have a formal youth ministry at their parish, we want them to still be able to come. They just need to contact me so we can kind of work out the logistics. So,
boy, that sounds great.
Yeah.
I wish we'd had something like that when I was a teenager.
I would say the same, but I was, I think I shared my story.
Yeah.
No, I was the kid in high school that was like, youth group's lame. I'm not going.
Basketball and pizza.
Yeah, I had, high school was when I wandered. Thank the Lord he brought me back in college, but yeah.
And sign up.
Yeah, so again, it's through FormStack, but they can go to mercy, so sced.org/mercy-motion-mission. Or again, just go to the section of the website. It should be up there posted because we have other mission trips, which I know other people from our office are going to talk about because we have some college mission trips and things like that. And I'm not involved with those ones. But there's lots of opportunities to get out there and to be a church on the move, a church on the go.
Yeah, I know some of the Newman Centers, I think, are planning some, some going out, I think one to El Paso.
I think so.
For immigration issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's exciting stuff.
Yeah, and so we're estimating that the cost will be about $200 when all is said and done. Right now, we're just asking for a deposit from people for the mission week here in Sacramento for high school students. And of course, we're trying to, again, because we know affordability is an issue.
Right.
We don't want cost to be a deterrent to anyone.
Right.
So again, this is where youth ministers can kind of chat with me and we'll talk with them. So.
Very good. And you do it by parish.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the sponsoring parishes are St. Charles Borromeo, Saints Peter and Paul, Immaculate Conception, and St. Maria Goretti.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, we have a great team that's been working on this. So.
And the Newman Center at Sac State is perfect. Perfect location.
Yeah, very central, good facilities. We can celebrate Mass there, space to do some breakout sessions. And because, again, we don't want this just to be a let's go help people and feel good about ourselves. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but we really want them to have an encounter with Christ.
Right.
And to, we love others because we love God. Right. Or there's this saying like, may our heart break for what breaks God's heart. Right.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
To be so close in our relationship with God that how could we not go and serve others? Right.
Yeah.
Whom God has created and whom God loves.
I don't know. It's probably a million times in the Bible, love one another as I have loved you.
Mm-hmm.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. Love your enemies even. It's love is throughout, and it's love, it's actions motivated by love.
It's that agape.
Yep, that's right. Yeah.
So
is this going to be a New York Life ad?
I should call them up.
You
just
should.
Throw
you
some
should,
sponsorship
you
here.
You should tell them, tell them how much you appreciated that ad.
Yeah, I will.
That was kind of gutsy.
It was.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you could do a whole youth ministry night, even young adult like conversation, just based on that commercial.
Yeah.
And unpack theology of the body and our faith. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Anything else you want to tell us about?
We have our, February 16th is the final fired up of the season. And, so far they've gone great. And we've had a great year this year for Fired Up. We're going to have dates real soon mm-hmm. for next year's mm-hmm. Fired Ups.
Right.
So that's the confirmation conference for those right. who don't know. So stay tuned for those because it was great this year. And we hope to make next year even more exciting and helpful for our confirmation students.
Fired up, on fire.
we joke about it in the office about, someone around has some kind of pyro tendencies or something.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well, always good to see you. Is your son going to go to T-ball camp in the summer?
No, he's just playing T-ball. I'm assistant coaching for him, though, because, he has some anxiety stuff. And so this is helping him to be comfortable to try something new. And so I'm excited to assistant coach him. So
we didn't have T-ball when I was a kid.
Really?
We went right into a pitcher throwing the ball at us. Now
wow.
It's like T-ball, and then you have Iron Mike, the pitching machine. And then you have parents pitching to their own kids. And it takes a long time before you actually are facing another kid who's actually throwing the ball.
Well, he's a little bit older because I started when I was 4 in T-ball. And then I have a summer birthday. So by the end of the season, I had turned like 5.
Yeah.
So he's already 6, like 6 and a half. And so he's kind of one of the bigger kids. So I think he only has to do T-ball this year. And then next year he can go to farm. And in our league, at least, they got rid of the pitching machine and it's just parent pitch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because when I grew up, it was the machine for a couple of years. And then it was like
Iron
the kids.
Mike, they called it.
Yeah. Okay. I hadn't heard Iron. Yeah, I don't remember what it's called. Maybe they called it Iron Mike.
He couldn't wear him out.
Yeah. I mean, it was a little frightening having that machine.
Oh, because it makes that noise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe that's why they did away with it. But I'm excited for it. We'll see if he actually likes it. If baseball is going to be a sport like it was for me. But it was fun yesterday and exhausting with all the little kids like, okay, guys, single file line. And some of them are so young, they don't know what a single file line is yet.
I remember my oldest son decided, I was a sports writer at the time, and I guess he decided he wanted to play the Little League because he thought it would please Dad. And I was completely neutral. You know, if it's not your deal, it's not your deal. Because I know that pressure of hitting the ball. I mean, being at the plate and it's just you and, you know, there's a lot. I mean, and nothing's harder. There's no act of sports that's harder than hitting a baseball. Especially, I mean, where the pitcher really knows what he's doing. And I mean, that's really hard and you got to make up your mind real fast. But anyway, one time he struck out a lot, but one time he didn't understand baseball. It just wasn't his thing, you know, but I was coaching. He said, I'll play if you coach. And so I coached this one year and he finally hit the ball. And it went down the first baseline fair and went into right field.
Wow.
He runs down to first base. And he gets to first base. He doesn't know what to do. And everybody's yelling at him, keep running, Ted, keep running, because the ball hadn't come in from the outfield. He runs back to home plate.
Oh, no. Yeah. That's cute. Yeah, we were doing, we were trying to get them used to how do you run the bases and what's the direction you go and making sure you touch the bases. And we had kids that were just like, they just run straight to second. We're like, no, go to first. Or they'd start running to third. No, other direction. Or they'd go from first and try and run to third. Like, wait, you missed second. So
I still have this vision of, I don't have no video, but I have this vision of him with his helmet flying off and trying to put his helmet back on his head and running like he'd never hit the ball before.
That's so cute. Okay, so as a coach, what tips do you have for me? This is my first time coaching. I mean, I'm just an assistant coach.
Everybody says this, but kids refuse to do it, is watch the ball hit your bat.
Okay.
And you'll never swing and miss.
Teach the kids that.
They've got to watch the ball all the way until your bat hits it. Because they think they're watching the ball.
Yeah.
And then they take their eye off the ball and they're looking out at the water tower in center field, you know, and they swing and miss.
Yeah.
It's a little harder to swing and miss in T-ball, but it happens.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
Because they're so little.
Yeah. And I remember hitting the tee. I was great at hitting the tee. And the ball just drops the ground,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly. So, yeah, watch the ball all the way. It goes for all sports. It goes for tennis. It goes for golf. It goes for basketball. How many times do you see a basketball player takes his eye off the ball and doesn't even catch an easy pass because he's already thinking about what he's going to do when he gets the ball? Football, you see it all the time.
Yeah.
Receiver starts to run before the ball gets there, and you're wide open.
I think we saw the 49ers do that a little bit in the Super Bowl, unfortunately.
I mean, these are the top... You know, the guys that are getting paid millions of dollars, they still they forget to watch the ball.
Okay. Yeah. I always do the whole keep your eye on the ball. Have you seen the video of the little kid doing T-ball and the dad goes, keep your eye on the ball? And the kid walks over and literally bends his head down and puts his eye on the ball on the tee. I have visions that I think maybe a couple of our kids on the team might do something like that. Yeah. But
a little prayer doesn't hurt either.
Sure. Saint Sebastian, right, is patron saint of athletes, sports.
But yeah, the problem is when both the pitcher and the batter are praying at the same time. So it really puts God in a tough spot.
Well, we just pray for safety. Oh, it's fun.
No, I want to hit a home run. I want my kid to hit a home run. It's amazing. As parents, and you said you'd never do it. We never, you know, never got mad at the umpire or did any of that stuff, or got mad at the coach because he wasn't playing my kid enough or anything. But you really do live and die with them, you know. Oh man, it's three balls and two strikes. Just throw a bad pitch and let him walk to first, because then he'd be on first base, and he'd have that fun of maybe stealing second and all that. And no, here comes the ball right down the middle, and he looks at it, and the umpire goes, right three, you know, and their chin drops down to their chest and they walk, you know. You live vicariously through your kids, whether you're supposed to or not.
Well, we've already started to tell our son about batting averages and, you know, even the pros. I mean, if you think about, like,
if you hit 300, you're getting on base, you're failing 7 times out of 10.
But 300's a decent, you know, good.
It's good.
Yeah, you know, like.
Yeah, that's kind of the gold standard. If 300 or above,
right,
you're a superstar.
Right. So, you know, if that's what's great in the professionals, you know.
And the big time home run hitters, let's say you hit 50 and you're up 600 times in the season. That's one time out of 12 you had a home run.
Yeah.
The other 11 times you didn't.
Right.
So.
So I think it's good for teaching, you know, how to deal with quote unquote failure, right?
Yeah. Well, Lindsay, I will pray for your son.
Thank you.
Hope he has a great experience.
Me too. Me too.
And we'll keep talking about all these great events you got coming up.
Well, thanks, Bob. Thanks. Take care.
Yep, you too. We'll take a quick break. Back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Lori Power, Associate Superintendent with the Catholic School Department. You are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
That's me. Thanks, Lori, for all you do for our great Catholic schools. And we are joined by Paulette Wiley, the Executive Director of the Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Some of us were lucky enough to know Bishop Gallegos. I didn't know him well, but I knew of him and what a great man he was. And the Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home. Tell us the mission, Paul. You've been the executive director now, what, about a year and a half?
Correct.
Taking over from the foundress, Lenore Malarkey.
Yes.
Who's still very much a presence in our area. And tell us what the mission of the Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home is.
Well, our mission at Bishop Gallegos is to provide services and the things that pregnant homeless women need in order for them to be able to provide the future that they want for their children. So, you know, we do that by providing them, of course, the physical shelter, food, clothing, that sort of thing, but as well as the unseen and unquantifiable emotional support, love, compassion, in order for them to be able to receive the services, such as our parenting classes, domestic violence workshops, to get those tools in order for them to be able to thrive in the future as mothers, so that they can raise productive, loving, kind, compassionate children.
You know, when I've explained about the Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home, like before the dinner or something, and telling people, you should come to this dinner, people are surprised. They think, well, that sounds like something from a long time ago. You know, there's really a need for that now?
Right.
And there really is, isn't there?
Oh, it's most
You're
definitely.
You're always full.
We're always full, and we always have a waiting list because the need is still out there. And I think the old idea of a maternity home and, you know, girls and young women being sent away.
Sent away, yeah.
Right. While
hidden
that,
away almost.
Exactly. Yeah. While that isn't the case, but these still are hidden people in our society.
Absolutely.
You know, they are the unprivileged and isolated individuals that we don't see in day-to-day life. And what is unfortunate for them is their stories. And, you know, this isn't just an instance in their life that, oh, bad things happened. You know, much of their story, it starts from their own childhood and their own broken homes and their own problems. And it's just manifested over the years. And, you know, you do what you know. And so in order for them to come to us, it's such a privilege to be able to be that unconditional love and support for someone. But the weight of that is tremendous as well, because they might not have ever experienced a relationship like this.
Exactly.
And so to call it work is it's not even describable. Yeah. I mean, this is home. It's a love of people and compassion. And just, you know, I always tell the women, I'm just as fortunate to meet them and know them as they are receiving the help from the home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is a very symbiotic relationship. And so there's a lot of miracles that work around it.
Indeed.
For years now, you know, decades.
Well, the home is Bishop Gagos Maternity Home is one of the beneficiaries of one of the programs that's supported by the annual Catholic Appeal, which we're launching. It's annual and it's been around for a long, long time. But there are lots of ways to contribute to that. And my wife and I always put it over 12 months, and it should be something that actually, whether you want to say it causes a little pain or hurts a little bit or you're sacrificing, I mean, that's great. But we find we can give a little more if we put it over 12 months than if, like, today's.
Right.
And the Bishop Gagos home is one of many. And I would urge, I've seen you in the video, the wonderful video.
You can
go to scd.org and find the annual Catholic Appeal video there. And the Catholic Appeal is solely dedicated to the social mission of the Catholic Church here in the Diocese of Sacramento. So many great programs supported by it. So where do these people find you, or do you find them? How is that connection made?
Well, they find us, and in many different ways. Some women are brought to us from other social workers. We've had people from the hospital. They might have been in the hospital for an emergency situation, and so a hospital social worker will call. We've had police officers bring women to us.
Most people out there in this area know about you.
Yes. I want to say yes, but I also want to say no. We're also kind of a hidden secret because there's a number of law enforcement and even social workers who aren't familiar with what we do. I mean, we've been doing it now, like I said, for almost 30 years. I mean, we've been there for 27 years in Sacramento.
Right.
So
it's
kind of remarkable to think that not everybody knows about it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it is kind of a hidden secret, you know. But the people who need us find us, and it's just remarkable. And even sometimes we have women that find us on their own. You know, sometimes it's word of mouth. Sometimes they're at the public library on the line, and they stumble across us that way.
So how many people can you serve at one time?
Well, currently we have 12 beds, 10 of which are private rooms. And so two of those beds are shared. So that allows us to be able to accommodate moms so that they can bond with their baby, because that's really important to have that one-on-one time and have a place to kind of retreat and have that time of solitude, you know, when they need it. And so we are also in the process of opening our transitional living facility, which is a 12-bedroom. It's a former convent. And so it will help kind of alleviate that waiting list that we have, because we do have so many people in need. And with the housing crisis the way it is right now, the last thing we want to do is turn people back out onto the street and into other shelters where now they're living in a group environment and they have a newborn child and they're trying to get to their services or trying to get into work or doing whatever it is that they're trying to progress themselves along the road. And so it's going to allow us to be able to kind of move women along who have completed the program and done all the parenting classes and the workshops that we have at the maternity home. And there they'll be able to pursue other things such as going in back into work. Women's Empowerment is a big program to kind of get them work ready. If they already have their GED, we can help with that if they don't, and get them those resources to get done, or, you know, enter the vocational training schools or even going back to college just to kind of get them along the road.
I remember hearing a speaker at one of the dinners quite a few years ago who went all the way through nursing school and just a phenomenal story.
Right. And it's amazing. And I speak about this all the time with our volunteers and our students. We have student nurses that come. The amount of potential in our homes is just astronomical. These women, in spite of their histories and the trauma that they've experienced, are survivors, and they are smart, and they are just caring and thoughtful, and, you know, there's just so much potential within each and every one of them. It's just a matter of having that time to be able to pursue something more than just trying to find shelter or food or, those basic necessities to survive. You know, being able to make sure we can meet those base requirements so that they can excel. That's the goal, you know.
You know, we hear this term pro-choice all the time. And what you folks are doing is providing real choice.
Right.
You know, I mean, true choice. I've always said, I know the dinner, the annual dinner, which is a big fundraiser for the home, that everybody should come support this, no matter where they are on the quote-unquote abortion issue.
Right.
Because if you're pro-life, obviously, this is something you would want to support. And if you're pro-choice,
it's something
by golly,
you'd want to
it's
support
a choice.
As well.
And if you really mean I'm pro-choice, I want people to have choice, you're providing an opportunity.
Exactly.
You're providing a wonderful opportunity.
You're so right. I mean, it really does hit everyone.
Yeah.
You know, it is something that, you know, to be able to show people that life is so worth it, and what, you know, it's not just bringing that child into the world. You know, it is providing the education, it is providing the care, the health care, all of those things that make life worth with living. And as Catholics, you know, that whole blanket of, you know, our commandment, thou shalt not kill, you know, it's all about healthy living. You know,
exactly.
It's not just about murder,
right?
You know, and that's what we do at Bishop Gallegos. We are concerned about the whole person and their whole life from conception to the end.
Yeah. So the explain when the a person comes to you and you do have a bed, if she already has children, what stage of pregnancy, how long can she stay, et cetera? How does that work?
Sure. A lot of times, so some of our residents may have other children, older children. A lot of times they have resources where they have a safe place for their child, whether it's with other family, friends, that sort of thing, or even a partner, the child's other family. And so that seems to manage its own. They might not be welcome there, but the children are.
Right.
And so once they get to us, though, we take women, typically they're around 7 months pregnant. And that's because we want mom to be able to get off the street, kind of get acclimated and be comfortable before she brings her baby home. And because of the limited space, we have to kind of juggle that that timeline, right? With expecting and having a baby. And so we can take women a little earlier. That's what that shared bedroom's about, is to be able to accommodate someone who's a little earlier in pregnancy. And so, but what they, once they get with us, they meet with our case manager. They meet weekly with a, for their resident action plan meeting. So it's basically a to-do list, and it's a weekly list of, okay, this is what the goals are, and okay, you attained this. Why didn't you get to this? You know, and we kind of address those issues. And so it's really a practical way of teaching women how to organize their to-do list. And it's a physical thing too, right? To be able to check that off the list, just to kind of, because some of us hold that list in our minds.
Sure.
But when once we put it on paper, you know, we hear all the time, once you write it down, it kind of happens, right?
That's
a big thing. And so that's where we find that success, trying to work them through what, you know, sometimes they don't have any documentation. So they need their, you know, ID card, or they need their social security card.
Right.
And so, you know, because they've been on the street for so long, they don't have those things anymore. Birth certificate. And these are all those documents that they'll need to acquire housing and other services. And so, you know, a lot of times we start from scratch. And, you know, we're sometimes even going to other states or counties in California trying to get birth certificates so that, you know, they can get their lives back together. And that's what we do. We support, we, I don't want to say hold their hand, we walk together, you know, arm in arm. You know, they're doing the footwork, but we're just providing the guidance and the structure. And, you know, once they're there doing that, and then they start in with our parenting classes. And because a lot of times some of our women, they might have been parents before, mothers before, but this might be their first sober pregnancy. Or, you know, just to learn a different way. Is a benefit and to be able to see that. And it's almost like a, you know, even at the home itself is almost like its own handmade mommy group. You know, you know, we have playtime, the kid, the babies have their tummy time together. We talk about, even myself, you know, I'm a mother of three kids, and I share with them quite frequently my own struggles with my children, the own Even though I have been married now for almost 25 years, and but it's still hard, you know, to be a mom and have a husband that travels a lot. You know, I'm a single mom a lot of times too, physically speaking, and so it's good for them to know that, you know, their struggles aren't. It's not just them. You know, we all share in some sort of struggle, and so that support is invaluable. I think too. You know, so when I talk about what do we do here, you know, it's really hard to describe. It's a home. It's not a shelter. It's, you know, we don't turn them away during the day to go fend for themselves. They're with us 24/7 if they need to be, you know, then they don't have anywhere to go or programs or things to do outside of BGMH. So, but we are a home, and it's a wonderful place to live and to be every day.
Wow. So the Bishop Gagos Maternity Home is one of those groups that is helped by the, it's not the only source of funds, but it's certainly helped by the Annual Catholic Appeal. And you can go to the diocese website, scd.org, to find the video. Paulette's featured on it, so you can put
you,
a face to the voice and do a wonderful job on that. And
thank
it's
you.
Just, I can't watch the video without crying. So,
I shed a lot of tears at work, happy and sad.
Paulette, thanks for coming. We're going to conclude by playing the audio from the Annual Catholic Appeal video. But I urge you to see the video as well. Thanks, Paulette.
Thank you.
The mercy and joy of the Lord Jesus are the greatest gifts we have, the finest gifts we can offer.
Greetings. This is Jaime Soto, Bishop of the Diocese of Sacramento.
Many of our sisters and brothers in the North State have endured catastrophic natural disasters. Others still struggle on the margins of communities. Through the Annual Catholic Appeal, the whole Catholic community leans in to help our Catholic charities and our local parishes, providing them the support so they can open doors and hearts to the mercy of Christ.
My name is Stacy. I'm a native San Franciscan, and California is my home. I just know in my heart that I wasn't supposed to be home the day of the fire. If I were there, I don't know that I would have made it out. I really don't. A friend died in the Bay Area, so on Monday before the fire, November 5th, I went to the Bay Area, got a call from a friend of mine that said, "You can't come back. You can't come back. Paradise is on fire." So after the fire, I was homeless. I spent several nights, several weeks in hotels. I slept in my car and then moved into a house in Chico. I started working with Northern Valley Catholic Social Services on January 22nd as a volunteer case manager. We heard their story and we prioritized them and did what we could do to find them housing.
So I am Sandy Barrett. I am the program manager of disaster case management for Northern Valley Catholic Social Service. Hearing the parents having to describe to their child that they don't have their home. Their home is not standing. Their bed is not standing. Their toys are not there. Their favorite stuffed animal has been one of the most humbling and traumatic experiences that we personally have had to hear.
I truly believe that I was not in paradise for the fire, so I could help after the fire, so I could contribute what I could contribute.
Her sharing her personal story and relating to them, you know, connected, made that bond with a lot of these clients.
And Northern Valley Catholic Social Service does so much for so many. Caring, the compassion, the concern, the love has just been overwhelming, more than the disaster itself. The annual appeal helps them do what they do, and I think I've helped quite a few people through all of this. It's been a very rewarding experience.
My name is Romel DeClinas, and I'm a deacon at Good Shepherd Catholic Church in Elk Grove. It's natural to feel like, oh, we don't have anything to give. But really, when your heart is moved, you can give in so many different ways. So even if you just give a little bit, it'll help the bigger picture. Imagine if everybody in our church gave something, just a little bit of something. How much more we can do to help others.
I'm Caitlin. I am the mother of Jackson. He's 3, and Isabella, she's 15. When I was 30, I moved in with a man, and he would beat me about 6 days out of the week. It wasn't until I went to residential treatment that that relationship ended. I came to Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home from my residential treatment program. I was homeless and 7 months pregnant when I got in, and it changed my life. The staff there is amazing. I felt loved, cared for. It was a safe place for me and my son.
I'm Paulette Wiley. I'm the executive director for Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home. Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home is a home for homeless pregnant women, and we provide them with shelter, food, clothing, being able to have their own private room, to have that dignity and feel human again is really important. We provide classes on parenting with our community partners, on domestic violence, as well as AA meetings, rehab and recovery support. We also provide companionship and a model of a healthy, productive family life. Each resident is responsible for a cook night. And just like any home, the kitchen is that gathering place where the women will gather together and share stories and anticipate something yummy to eat in the kitchen.
I got asked by the president of the board if I would be willing to work there as live-in staff with me and my son. I never imagined that I would get hired there. Sorry. A lot of the women would not be able to keep their children if it wasn't for Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home.
The annual Catholic Appeal literally saves lives. To be able to understand and hear the trauma that our clients have been inflicted with throughout their lives, not just you know, in their adulthood living on the street, but most are from childhood. And to be able to shoulder that with them and model different behaviors and to coach them through difficult situations, it takes very special people to do that work. And we need other special people who can help provide the resources in order for us to do that work.
Whenever we share in the mission of Jesus, we do so as his friends and companions. We become messengers of mercy and heralds of hope for others. Join me in making a sacrificial gift for this year's annual Catholic Appeal. Together, we can ensure that throughout the year, our neighbors in need feel the joy of knowing the saving mercy of our Savior, Jesus. Thank you, and may the grace of our Lord be with you and your family.